whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start right in to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Come on, get smart, tune up and start to whistle while you work.
Good morning, everyone. I'm your host, Mike Mano. Happy 4th of July. Welcome to you as we present a rather special and unique company break show this morning. In the past, we've had many businesses on the air telling us about their business and what they do and how they make money and so forth. We're going to change gears just a little bit today, and we're going to talk about the business of putting on the Kingston Chamber Music Festival. And with us today is Brian Mitchell. Welcome back to the studio, Brian.
Thank you, Mike. Nice to be here.
Nice to have you with us again. Brian has been here on several occasions to be on our Conducting Conversation show on Sunday nights. And we thought we'd give the Saturday morning audience a shot. And along with Brian is Zach Friedland. Welcome, Zach.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Nice to have you with us. And Zach, we know that, Brian, you're the executive director, correct?
Managing director.
Managing director. Zach, what is it exactly that you do with the festival?
My job is the administrative assistance position. So I basically assist Brian in making the festival run smoothly with taking care of the artists and stage managing and everything in that 2 weeks that kind of needs to go on behind the scenes.
All right. So if I was a performing artist and I wanted just the browned M&Ms, you would be the guy.
I would
right?
be the guy to sort through the M&Ms for you.
All right. Let's get a little bit of background on the Kingston Chamber Music Festival. Just for people that aren't aware, Brian, why don't you tell us the dates and a brief little history about what it is.
The Kingston Chamber Music Festival was founded in 1989 by violinist David Kim, who is now concertmaster of the Philadelphia Orchestra. 7 years ago, David left as director, and the director since then has been pianist Natalie Zhu. She also is Philadelphia-based. Her husband is a member of the Philadelphia Orchestra. And I think the festival has... with Natalie has really found her legs in the years that she's been the director, and we
don't want to say it got better, but it's continued to grow, right?
It's continued to grow, no
All right,
question.
That's a good way to put it. All right. And it takes place at URI?
Yes, takes place at the Fine Arts Center Concert Hall at the University of Rhode Island, and we've gotten great support from the university over the years. The College of Arts and Sciences with Dean Winnie Brownell has been extremely supportive of us, as well as the university presidents, Dr. Carruthers and now Dr. Dooley, have been helpful to the festival. But technically, the festival is run by a nonprofit board of directors, which is not connected with the university, and it's just a cooperative relationship we've had for many years.
Yeah, from layman's term, you use the space, so to speak.
Yes.
And they help and provide that. And Zach, how long have you been involved with the festival?
This is going to be my fourth season. So I graduated from the University of Rhode Island in 2013, and a friend of mine had the job that I was in before and recommended me in, so it's been a great opportunity the whole way.
So this is this something you work at for a month or for 6 months, or what kind of period of time are you involved with this?
It usually starts about late spring when, you know, I start talking to Brian on, you know, daily basis and just start thinking about all the logistics that we're going to be taking care of. And then it really picks up around, I'd say, June. And then as soon as we're into July, there's that 2 weeks when... you know, we're just always on our feet, and we're always looking after the artists. And
right.
So.
What are the exact dates, Brian, that
this year, it's usually the same time every year, the late July, early August. This year, the concerts run from July 22nd to August 2nd. There'll be 7 concerts.
So just a couple weeks from now, things will be started, and people can get tickets at URI or online.
Yes, they can get them through the box office by calling or visiting the box office, which is behind the concert hall on the URI campus. The number is 874-2106, and they can also go to the website and see all the concert programs and order online with a credit card. So we try to make it as easy in as many ways as possible to get tickets.
Excellent. All right. We'll review that again in the second segment of our program. Zach, I want to get back to you. And a recent graduate of the University of Rhode Island, and you, for those of you that can't see through your radio, Zach is a younger man, not quite the same generation as Brian and I. And so what got you involved and interested in becoming part of this festival?
Well, I started attending the festival when I was about 15, 16, and you cannot overstate the quality of the music that comes through here. Just to be able to have access to such great musicians and great performances in, you know, this small little state of Rhode Island, it's really quite an amazing thing. And we got to thank David Kim for, you know, picking our location and fostering this great tradition that's been going on for, this is going to be our 27th year now. So, you know, I had been going to the festival and working at URI, you know, I kind of started to meet some of the musicians. And then before I knew it, just one day, I was asked, you know, how would you like to take one of those administrative assistant jobs? And
there you are.
Yeah, here I am.
Okay. And I suspect there's a lot of people involved, not only at URI, but throughout the area in music, that this is an important event for them.
Yeah, it's...
We like to think so. There's a patron base of probably a couple of thousand people that we regularly send a newsletter to and who regularly donate and buy tickets to the festival. So, I would say there's a very strong community support for this festival.
This festival, in fact, has been sold out on some occasions, right?
Yes, the hall for chamber music, the hall is quite large. It seats 600 people for each concert, and we have in the past had several concerts sell out. And we hope to be able to sell out a few concerts this year. So many people might think, well, chamber music doesn't go so well in a large hall like that. But the hall is air-conditioned, which is certainly nice in the summertime. The musicians and the audience appreciates that. But it's also, even if it's not a fancy hall, it's acoustically very good. And the sight lines are good. The stages are risen and up from the audience. So... we're very happy with where we are.
Okay. Zach, I guess I was trying to get at, for a young person, when do they become interested in something like this? Is it something that people start when they're very, very young? You start an interest playing the piano or the violin or whatever it might be, and then it gets carried away? And is there like a whole association, a group of people that you know your age that are liking this kind of music?
Yeah, I mean, for me, because I, like you said, I started playing piano when I was about six, and so music just kind of always became this constant in my life. And the same is true for a lot of the people that I went to school with, who, you know, I see at the festival. And we actually do a scholarship that goes to a music major at URI every year. So
that's a benefit from the concert itself. You actually give a scholarship away,
yes,
because of the benefits of it.
Every year we award an annual scholarship, a $1,000 scholarship, to a URI music student. It's usually a junior that's going to be there for another year.
Right.
In the past, some of the scholarship winners have been helping out at the festival, either as stagehands, you know, in addition to the administrative assistants, Zach and Teresa Procopio. She's a woodwind player that's right now lives out in Ohio. She comes back every year to continue to do this part-time job just to come back to the festival. And so these young people, it's just really good to be able to employ, even if it's just very part-time, for somebody like a stagehand. I think it gives them, it kind of whets their appetite for this kind of thing, whether it's if they're not a musician, they might be wanting to go into arts administration or into some kind of stage production kind of thing.
It gets them close to the action, right?
It gets them close to the action, and this is a really professional concert series that can involve a lot of people and a lot of students.
Yeah, and I think that's where I was getting at, that it's not just for the older generation. People think sometimes of classical music or chamber music as being an old fuddy-duddy thing, but that's not the case at all. There's probably a great mix in the audience as far as age is concerned.
Well, I'd have to say probably it's predominantly people over 50, mm-hmm. But we encourage students to come. We don't advertise it a lot, but we're happy to offer student tickets, especially to URI music students or to any student at URI. If they show us an ID, they get in for $10 to a concert. And that would also be true for high school students, that if they came, they could get in for $10. So.
So all students, high school, even younger?
Yeah, high school and college. Younger probably don't have an interest. If they did, they could get in for $10, sure.
Okay, great. So student tickets are available. And if you have any questions about that, they can always call the number that you mentioned.
Yes.
To ask any questions at all, right? Operators are standing by, as they say.
Yes.
To explain all those things. That's great. In the next segment, I want to talk about all of the different performers that are coming and some of the businesses that help you out. But I know this is a huge undertaking. This isn't something that you put on for $100. This is a lot of money involved. People traveling from all over the world, right?
Yes, musicians travel from all over the world. The audience comes from the Northeast and Philadelphia, New York, Northern New England. And of course, many Rhode Islanders and many people that are here in the summertime coming from other areas love to come to the festival.
Right. So if they have a summer cottage or something like that down at the beach, they come up, and that's a wonderful thing. If you had to take a guess just before we take our first break, where would you think the person comes from the farthest away as far as a performer?
Well,
perhaps?
I know someone personally that comes from Maine every year just to come to the festival, and.
I think we've had performers that brought guests from China.
Oh, yes. You've had? Oh, yes. Yeah, well, China's a lot further away than Maine. I know you're a Rhode Island guy, but, you know.
That's true.
Yeah, China would be a long way away.
Yeah,
so.
We've had musicians from Finland and from Italy and China. And not this year. We have no international musicians, but most of our musicians come from large cities with large orchestras. They're mm-hmm. principal players from large orchestras.
And they're all professionals.
They're all professionals.
Right. Yes. All right, that's great. Let's take a short break, and then we'll get into who, what, when, and where when we come back. And we'll be talking more with Brian and Zach of the Kingston Chamber Music Festival. Welcome back to Company Break. I'm Mike Maino, and we're sitting this morning with Brian Mitchell and Zach Friedland from the Kingston Chamber Music Festival. And Brian, I touched a little bit earlier on that this was a large undertaking, takes a lot of money, and a lot of money comes in or is spent on the festival, but also a lot of money comes into the area, right?
Yes, we have an annual budget of just over $150,000, which by a corporate standard maybe wouldn't be a lot of money, but I think in addition to the money that we take in and we spend, I think the people that come to the festival spend money in restaurants and places to stay. The musicians, for example, we have to find housing for them. We have to provide them food. We take them out to dinner. We go out to some of the famous local seafood restaurants, and mm-hmm. they always visit an Asian restaurant or two. And we spend money all year round on festival publications, for example. We produce a concert program that's over 100 pages with probably 75 advertisers. We get corporate support from several businesses that sponsor concerts, including WCRI is one of our welcome sponsors, and Centerville Bank, Belmont Market, Amica Insurance. Support other groups such as the Rhode Island Philharmonic, they support smaller groups such as ourselves. But we think that we also, for example, pay those students we've already talked about. We pay the hall manager. We pay the musicians get a fee, and we have to get that money somewhere. So I would say ticket revenues account for about 35% of our revenue, and corporate and foundation donors are probably over 50% of the income we make. So it's not a small thing, and it's a year-round activity for me and a few other people and the volunteers that work for the festival.
And the people that appreciate it are always able to make a donation, should they see fit?
Yes, absolutely. They can, when they order their tickets, however they order them, they can also donate to the festival, whether it's with a credit card or a check or cash.
Or little children they don't want anymore.
No, we won't take that.
Oh, you won't take the children. All right. Well, it's a great thing that you're doing, and the economic impact is one thing, but the artistic impact, I think, is a tremendous thing. We touched on that earlier with Zach about young people getting involved and having the opportunity to be near and around musicians such as caliber that you bring in is a tremendous thing. So that's WCRI is very happy to be a small part of that. And I noticed that when you mentioned some of the other sponsors, you're talking about large companies, but Rhode Island-based. So things like,
yes,
Amica and Belmont Market. They're always doing good things for some of these Rhode Island endeavors. Zach, when we talk about the festival itself, the day of the festival, is that something you look forward to with great anticipation, or is
every
it like
year,
or is it like, oh no, here it is?
Oh no, definitely every year. Just like I said, being able to be with those musicians, mm-hmm, and you know, as a musician myself, it's always great to be able to, you know, they're so generous with their time. You know, if I want to sit down with them and just not talk business, but talk about, you know, music,
right,
and
right.
You know, so I've gotten some great career advice over the years, and it's always a rewarding experience all around.
Zach takes full advantage. He picks their brains whenever he can.
Well, that's a great thing to do.
I may have told the story before, but I remember when Stuart Goodyear, I learned just before he was on the train, and I was picking him up, meeting him at the train station, and I had a car for him from a rental agency with me so that he could take off and get about. And he texted me that he didn't have a license and he's never driven a car, and he's always lived in a big city. So I said to myself, oh, shucks, we're going to have to transport this guy for a week everywhere he needs to go.
It's going to be a pain, right?
Right, it's going to be a pain. But it turned out to be a total delight because he's such a terrific guy. And Zach and Teresa just fought over who was going to give him rides because he was so fun to be with. So
That's a great thing. It's always great to get to learn and know these people and that find out that they're real people.
I mean,
you know, they're not that much different. I've had
just like you and I.
Right. Had the privilege of working with a lot of great stars and talented people, and for the most part, they're all really nice to work with. Let's get to the specifics of the concerts and the date and what dates of some concerts and what might be presented.
Okay, the concerts are, they pretty much run the same format as we have for years, and we have Wednesday and Friday concerts both weeks. This is beginning on July 22nd. We have a new starting time for the Wednesday and Friday concerts. That's 7:30 p.m., and both Sunday concerts, so this is a Wednesday-Friday-Sunday series, both Sunday concerts start at 4 p.m. for the first time. All concerts used to start at 8, so when we sent out the ticket orders this year, we put a yellow notice in every order saying that concert times have changed, and please take note of that. But we think the 4 o'clock starting time on Sunday will help people get on their way. If they happen to be leaving to go somewhere, they can have dinner after the concert. The musicians also may take advantage and leave right after the concert. We used to have to provide an extra night of lodging for them on Sunday nights, but we may not have to do that anymore. So, and also, if there's a reception following the concert, which usually there is at the end of the festival, then that'll be held in a more timely fashion, but not too late. So, and as far as the musicians go, this year we have, there's always a mix of people that are debuting, coming here to Kingston for the first time, and we have a wonderful young violinist. Her name is Bella Hristova. She's a Bulgarian-born to Russian and Bulgarian parents. As a matter of fact, she's visiting Bulgaria right now as we speak. And her fiancé will be returning for his second year. He's a composer, and it's a David Ludwig. And they're just a wonderful story because he's right now composing a violin concerto for her that's going to be premiered at 8 orchestras around the country. And a week after the festival ends in Kingston, they're going to get married. And so it's kind of a fun story. And also making his debut this year at the festival will be a clarinetist, Benito Meza. He's a native of Puerto Rico, but I think he came through Juilliard. Coming back for the second year running are Stuart Goodyear, the pianist that I just mentioned, a wonderful pianist, plays worldwide, and just a terrific guy. And also Jason Vio, a classical guitarist who only a few months ago won a 2015 Grammy Award for his latest album. And he is going to be playing at two concerts. That will be the first concert. He'll be playing in a Paganini, a chamber piece, and then on the Sunday, July 26th, he'll be playing a lot of solo pieces on classical guitar, and that is one of our best-selling concerts. I think people that might not ordinarily be going to a classical concert, for some reason, like classical guitar, and so they're coming to that concert, and he'll be signing his new Grammy-winning CD after the concert if anybody wants to get a CD.
Wow, that's great. That's what a great opportunity. Now, I noticed that we talked earlier about Amica and Belmont Market and Centerville Bank sponsoring the events, but on your, I think it's the first one on your calendar there, there's a person's name. Tell me what that's about.
The first concert is called the Natalie Talley Campin Memorial Concert. Talley Campin was a beloved art history professor at URI for some 20 years. She went on to Barnard College and Columbia University after leaving URI and distinguished herself with writing books and doing a lot of research. Her field was, in addition to art history, was ancient history of Greek and Roman history. She was a festival, from the very start of the festival, she was a big fan, and she left a significant gift to the festival, and it's really our first bequest, and the festival is creating an endowment with this gift, and we're going to be able to announce details of that at the first concert. It's just, I think if you consider how many years we've been in existence, it may be something that we'd like to think will be happening once in a while more frequently at this point in our history. But it's a wonderful start for us to create this endowment, and her family and friends will be at this concert, and it'll be a tribute to her. And we've also included a biography, some remembrances of her in the program. So I think it'll be a really significant event for the festival.
Is that a little unusual, someone that's not a musician doing something like this, not known for being a musician?
Well, I don't know. Maybe not. Certainly you would have to be a big fan of classical music to do something like this. Before she went to Kingston, she went to the Marlboro Music Festival, which has a long storied history. And once Kingston started, she didn't have to travel so far, and she, I'm told by her sister that she went to both festivals many years, but always spoke highly of Kingston when she was at Marlboro, and so we're just tickled pink and very pleased, and on behalf of the entire board of directors, I can say that it's just a wonderful thing that we're going to be able to talk about at that first concert.
Excellent. All right. And Zach, let's get back to you for a moment. Let me put you on the spot. Now, you've got all these different groups coming in. Do you have a favorite of who might be coming in?
I'm particularly looking forward to the return of David Ludwig. I'm a composer myself, so it's great to not only be able to meet a composer who's very active right now, but it's nice, and Natalie has done a great job of this as artistic director. I love seeing an integration of both the classics of, you know, Beethoven and Dvorak with some of the newer music that's being written. So I love seeing that diversity in the festival. And speaking of meeting the composer, on the second and third concert, which is July 24th and July 26th, 45 minutes before, David Ludwig will be doing a meet the composer. You can come and ask him questions. And
a meet and greet?
Meet and greet. And I certainly have a question or two that I plan to ask him. But
you might get yours in before the 45-minute period.
He'll be talking about pieces that were going to be played that evening. He'll be talking about the actual piece that he's written that will be performed that evening and be able to answer questions and explain what people are going to hear. So I think that'll be very informative and enrich the concert-going experience.
Right. And now if people arrive for that, Zach, can they get like a minute with you and ask you questions too?
Sure, why not?
And do you have any 8x10 glossies you'll be signing that event? Well, it'd be great. It would be great to be able to meet you. So I'm sure some of our listeners would have questions for you that might be surprising to you. So have your little name badge on so that people can
you can recognize me by the Kingston shirt and the
right there. You go. All right. I want to make sure that we've covered everything we want to cover for this, because this is a great event that has been going on for a long time. And we want to get as many people out as possible. You already talked about what a great theater this is, even though it might sound a little large for chamber music. But this is a great great sight lines and great place to listen.
Cool.
And cool and comfortable. That's a very big thing. Cool is very big. Some of us in this area know that we go to some theaters in the southern part of the state that are not air conditioned. So, and that can be a little warm. But that's a good thing. So, Brian, just kind of recapping, one more time, I want to just make sure we get the phone number and the dates and all those things in. We just got another minute or so. So why don't you kind of recap everything we've talked about?
Seven concerts, July 22nd to August 2nd. If you go to the website, you can see all the details of the programs. You can see biographies of all the musicians that are coming this in 2015. And right on that website, you can purchase tickets with a credit card. The box office is open 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. weekdays through the end of the festival, and the number there is 874-2106.
That's, of course, area code 401.
We also have the Facebook site for Kingston Chamber Music Festival.
See, Brian, you and I are talking about phone numbers and area codes, Zach's right there with Facebook. Yeah. Tell us what the Facebook account is.
It's Kingston Chamber Music Festival, so you can hit like, and we're always posting information and updates and interesting things about our artists.
All right. What about Twitter?
No Twitter yet. We're getting there.
What's up with that? All right. Instagram, nothing?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, it's been a pleasure to have both of you here today and talking about the festival. Brian, nice to see you again. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you very much, Mike.
And Zach, nice to see you again, and great to have you on the program.
Thank you very much.
All right. Well, make sure you take it all in. The Kingston Chamber Music Festival coming to the University of Rhode Island. And for the rest of you, we'll see you next time on Company Break.
Whistle while you work. Put on that grin and start riding to whistle loud and long. Just hum a merry tune. Come on, get smart. Tune up and start to whistle while you work.